Hi, I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and welcome to Food Talk, where celebrity chefs, food writers, and food personalities give us their special cooking tips and personal inside look at their food world. And what's for dinner tonight? In each program, I have a quick and easy dinner in minutes that will please your family, and it won't break your calorie or your time bank. But my guest today is Baroness Philippine de Rothschild, and she's the owner of Chateau Mouton Rothschild. It's one of the world's finest wines. And in addition to growing great wine, her family have been very philanthropic for many, many years towards the worldwide Jewish community. So welcome, Baroness.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, Baroness Philippine, your family had a very difficult time in France during World War II, and you in particular had a very personal story to tell. Would you mind relating some of it for us?
Certainly. In fact, my father and my mother remained in France, which was rather risky, but for the first part, in fact, of the war, which is until November 1942, when the Nazis invaded the whole of France. Then my father, we were all in the south of France, and my father decided to leave France and join de Gaulle up in, of course, Great Britain. So he went through Spain and went up to Great Britain and went to enroll himself in the forces, in the Allied forces, and did the Normandy campaign, while my mother and I came up to Paris and lived in Paris. And most unfortunately, my mother, who was anything but Jewish, she was a Roman Catholic, but of course she bore the name Rothschild. And on the 22nd of June, which means 3 weeks after landing, she was arrested by the Nazis, most unfortunately and tragically deported into the Ravensbrück camp. And by a miracle, I was not deported. I remained in Paris. I was looked after by the other side of my family. And unfortunately, my mother never came back, and she was she died in a concentration camp in Ravensbrück, which was absolutely tragic, of course, because I lost my mother when she was 10, and she was a very young lady and died much too young, of course.
Yes, very, very sad story.
Very sad.
But you carried on life with your father.
Yes, of course. My father was a sort of father-mother. I mean, he educated me, and he was a wonderful father, and we had a great relationship together, and he looked after me wonderfully, and things were all right. But, I mean, it's never the same.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Well, with us today also is Fred Tasker, and Fred is the wine columnist for the Miami Herald, and he has some questions for you.
Yes, let's talk a little bit about your wine. Your 2006 Chateau Mouton Rothschild Bordeaux, in the middle of a worldwide recession, is selling for $700. And Robert Parker, the influential wine author, gave it a 96 to 100
yes,
rating.
Yes, it's wonderful.
Just in general terms, this is an amazing accomplishment. How did you achieve this?
Well, I think that we have a new winemaker, who is Philippe Dalloin, who is a very, very clever and very competent man. And I think he did some changes in the vineyard, which were extraordinarily positive. And also, it was a very, very great year. It's a very great year for us, but especially a great year for Mouton. Because as Robert Parker says, he said it was maybe the 2006, maybe in 2006, maybe it's Mouton, which is the wine of the year.
That's right.
If it is, then I'm very, very proud of this, particularly this 2006. I mean, really, it is a fabulous vintage. It's remarkable at Mouton. It just comes out wonderfully. There's some mystery always, you know, in wines, which is the most amusing thing in wine. It's the mystery. You're never absolutely certain what's going to come out.
That's one of the most enjoyable parts of it. You never do know how it will come out.
That's exactly it.
Well, we shouldn't give the impression that all of your wines are $700, though.
No,
If anyone goes to a supermarket, you'll find Mouton Cadet wines in the $10 range.
Exactly.
Tell us about them.
I'm very happy about that, because that's a great invention of my father in the 1930s. He said, I'm not only going to have this one of the best wines in the world, I'm going to make a much more popular wine that people can buy easily and that people can have on their tables. He didn't know it would take such an extraordinary vision. He didn't know it would be a wine that would come on the whole, the five continents practically, be sold in 120 countries. I mean, it's an extraordinary success, Mouton Cadet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a worldwide success. It's the greatest, the most successful of branded wines. I mean, that kind of mm-hmm. that type of wine in Bordeaux, in fact.
Now, you don't make kosher wines yourself, but I understand a branch of your family does.
Yes, yes. I believe Benjamin does kosher wines.
And Eric, Eric...
Eric Lafitte, I think.
He started doing some kosher wines, but it's a very difficult situation, the kosher wine. When it's very difficult because it has to be, to get very good wines with kosher is not the easiest thing in the world, but it's a technical situation.
I also think the Rothschild, one branch of your family, helped start the Carmel winery in Israel.
That I don't know about.
Yes, I think so.
Yes, but it's not my branch.
No, it's not your branch, but they have done that.
We have three branches of the family, and we get on very well. We're three branches in the wine business, you see. Lafitte, of course, has a wonderful Lafitte, and Benjamin has the Chateau Clark, which is a charming wine, also quite mm-hmm. near Boyac.
Not only fine wine, but they have incredible labels. They commissioned leading artists to illustrate their labels for each vintage. And we're talking artists like Marc Chagall, Pablo Picasso, and Andy Warhol, and many more. Mm. Baroness, the new label has just come out for your 2006 vintage.
Of course.
So, all right, tell us all. What is it?
Well, first of all, why 2006? Because you could say it's a bit late, because we're already 2009, but that's... Every time, every year is the same problem. It's not a problem, it's a situation. I'm always 2 years after the time. Why? Because the wine remains in barrels for 2 years after it's been harvested. So the harvest of 2006 has remained in barrels until 2008. And even so, we didn't. In the end of 2008, it was bottled, and then of course we need the label. That's why today my latest label is 2006, and that label was commissioned from Lucian Freud, who is of course the grandson of Sigmund Freud.
Oh, I wondered when I saw the name. Yes,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. He's a grandson. He's very, very close to Sigmund Freud, and he's today one of the best, well-known painters, English painters, but not English, really, international painters. Some of his paintings are a fabulous, fabulous price. Apparently, recently, one of his paintings was the highest painting, contemporary painting of a living artist ever sold in an auction, which really means the value of it, and to think that he accepted to draw a drawing for the Mouton label was a great, great treat, and personally made me extraordinarily proud. And what is charming is that all the artists are always given total freedom. I mean, I always say to the artists, draw whatever you like.
This is without tasting the wine. It's not based on the wine.
No, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's not. Bearing in mind, which I always say, that the most important thing is what is inside the bottles. Even however important the painter is and the work of art is, and goodness knows that it is. However, the most important thing is the quality of the wine. But that is not to be questioned. In this case, the quality of the painter either. Because what he did, it's of course very amusing, completely baroque, and it's very amusing to launch this label here in Miami, because what is on the label is a zebra, now that's not especially Miami, and a palm tree.
I noticed that. I saw a palm tree.
Yes.
But
so
you didn't know you were going to launch it in Miami.
So
he didn't know that.
No, of course he didn't nudge that. Of course not. It's just he was amused. You see, I always say to people, to artists, do whatever you feel like. You don't need to draw anything to do with wine or maybe the ram, with mouton. Mouton means ram in French. So, we have the totem, that sort of the ram is a sort of a symbol of mouton. So some painters have drawn rams in certain different shapes, and all. But he just preferred the zebra and the palm tree, and I love his label.
It is. It's very simple. Very, very...
Yes, it's like a child's drawing.
Exactly, right.
And I think it's very charming, because there is something very childish in the right sense of the word in Lucian Freud. He's 86, and I met him and I saw him, and he's kept this sort of extraordinary freshness of youth. So personally, I think that this label corresponds exactly to what I think of Lucian Freud. So I'm particularly happy about it.
Wonderful. And you were the one who selected him to do this.
Yes. Yes, I select all the labels.
And how do you decide who's going to do the label?
Well, first of all, I take people whom I like.
Well, that's a good start.
Yes. I mean, I wouldn't put on the label of Mouton, I wouldn't put a work of art that I don't like. So there are some painters who are very artists who are very well known, but personally, if I don't like them, I'm not going to ask them. That's all.
And you have this wonderful collection of what? How many? Yes, 60 paintings?
60. Now, it grows by one every year.
Of course.
Well, that's a special thing about the exhibition. Mm-hmm. The exhibition grows by one work of art every year, whatever we do.
And the exhibition travels.
Yes.
It's a traveling exhibition. So it's in Miami. Where is it going next?
No, for the moment, it's going back home after that. But it goes from home to, we went to Moscow and a year ago, 2 years ago in Japan. No, a year ago in Japan. 2 years ago in Russia. And we go where we are invited. But always museums, of course.
Can the general public see an exhibition if they are in France?
Oh, of course. No, at the moment, no. It's not shown at Mouton, but I'm preparing a location to show it at Mouton. Eventually, in a year or two, we're going to have a location in order for the general public, as you're saying, who are going to come and see the Museum of Wine and Art in Mouton, which is a fabulous museum. They would see at the same time the labels.
Okay, but that museum is open. At the moment, people can go to that museum, even though those labels are.
Of course.
Right, and they just go to your website to find out about where it is?
Yes, of course, with the website.
And do you know the website?
No, I don't know the website. I know my website. I'm very hopeless with the Mouton website. I don't know any website. I have no idea.
Right.
Baron Philippe de Rothschild, something like that. But I mean, that can be found easily.
Right, they'll just Google. Mm. I think if they just Mouton Rothschild and Museum, and they'll find it. Yes.
Exactly.
Well, Baroness Philippine de Rothschild, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Fascinating stories. You've had an amazing life.
Thank you.
We forgot to talk about the fact that you were an actress in the Comédie Française.
Oh, yes, that's a big thing. another matter for another interview.
Right, and Fred Tasker, thank you so much for your questions. Kedem, distributed wine by Barons Edmund and Benjamin Rothschild, as well as wines such as Ben Zimra, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Ramat Arad Syrah, produced by the Carmel Winery that the Rothschilds helped found, are under OU supervision. But as always, check the labels and with your personal rabbi before buying. Well, it's dinner in minutes time, so what goes with good wine? How about a steak dinner? Entrecote marchand de vin with sautéed garlic potatoes. My mouth is watering now. The steak is cooked in red wine, and so it makes the dish very elegant. It's elegant enough for a dinner party, but it's very simple. Now, this dish is a traditional dish that's served in French bistros. The sauce is made in the same skillet used to cook the steak, and that gives added flavor and body to the sauce. Now, shallots are called for in the recipe, and they're members of the onion family, but they're a little milder flavor than onions. Well, I like to use shallots in a sauce. They have a thinner cell structure, and so the sauce makes a smoother sauce. But you could use onions if you like. And also, cut the potatoes in small cubes for the side dish, because then they'll cook faster. So here's what you do. You brown skirt or flank steak in a skillet for about 2 minutes per side, and then lower the heat. And then I add the shallots and the mushrooms, and you continue to cook the steak for about 4 to 5 minutes. Remove the steak to a plate, but leave the vegetables there and put a little bit of flour over the vegetables and stir a bit. Raise the heat and add some red wine and cook the wine for just a minute, and then add a little chicken broth. And here's the secret, a little ketchup and then some thyme as well. But you may be surprised about using ketchup in a very French dish. And I learned this from celebrity chef Jacques Pepin, who told me that thick tomato sauce and even ketchup is used in French cooking. So we're all right there. The sauce will thicken in about 3 to 4 minutes. And then you can put the steak back into the sauce just for a few seconds to warm through. Now for the side dish, you sauté the cubed potatoes and a little bit of chicken broth. And then the broth will evaporate, the potatoes will be cooked, and I toss them with a little olive oil and salt and pepper. And also the garlic has been cooking with the potatoes in the broth. Well, if you want the full exact recipe and a photo, go to oucooking.org. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me next time for more food talk.